Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
Different districts have different challenges, and we need to be understanding of that.
State officials say vaccines for Kentucky teachers doesn't mean a widespread reopening of schools.
A judge has put a temporary stop to House Bill 1.
And a local business owner is disappointed in that injunction.
A new bill could help local breweries.
A motion to impeach one Kentucky elected official has been denied.
In sports, Moorhead hosts Murray State in Johnson Arena this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers tonight with a low around 26. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
While Kentucky moved more quickly than other states to vaccinate teachers, the governor is cautioning that won't automatically lead to an across-the-board return to traditional learning. Once teachers have completed the vaccination process, Governor Beshear says there will be an expectation that schools return to at least some form of in-person learning. But he adds that one size can't fit all.
Different districts have different challenges, and we need to be understanding of that. We also need to be understanding that we will always need, through the end of this year, a virtual option for students whose parents choose it.
Beshear laid out several CDC guidelines he says schools must also meet if they're to open safely. They include considerations about density and distancing, universal masking, proper ventilation, and the state of the outbreak in different communities. In Fayette County, preliminary plans call for schools to reopen K through 12 classes on February 16th, but district leaders have yet to officially sign on to that schedule.
A judge has issued a temporary injunction on House Bill 1, which would have allowed businesses, schools, and churches to remain open during an emergency as long as they follow CDC or state guidelines, whichever are less restrictive. WKYT reports the ruling comes less than a day after the General Assembly overruled Governor Andy Beshear's veto of six bills aimed at stripping the governor's emergency powers he's invoked to control the COVID-19 pandemic. Beshear warned legislatures he would sue, saying at an earlier press conference that he'd issued rules to protect all Kentuckians and give clear guidance to businesses.
There are 174 CDC guidance documents. Now, I guess every business would have to look through all 174 of these, which multiple ones will apply to them, and try to figure out what they do or do not have to do. You got to have clear, consistent rules. And that's what the Supreme Court said, you know, just a couple months ago. So
in his order, Franklin Circuit Court Judge Philip Shepard said the order will last 30 days or until he issues a ruling on the injunction. The court is concerned that if it allowed House Bill 1 to be enacted at this time, it would create chaos and undermine effective enforcement of public health standards to prevent the spread of the virus.
The owner of Brewed Coffee Shop in Lexington had his new COVID-19 rules ready to go Wednesday before that judge issued the temporary injunction on House Bill 1. According to LEX 18, the new law was passed earlier this week when the legislature voted to override Governor Andy Beshear's veto. It allows businesses to stay open during the pandemic as long as they follow CDC or state guidelines, whatever is least restrictive. Brewed owner Andrew Copperwriter said he planned to make masks optional, change the capacity limit to 66%, and have no curfew.
The key thing there was that it allowed customers to know what kind of risk they were walking into. Most importantly, it does the thing that I think really kind of helps get everybody out of everybody else's business, but also provides a clear choice.
Copperwriter has been outspoken and an opponent of many of the governor's COVID-19 orders for businesses and has signed onto a petition calling for the governor's impeachment.
Breweries statewide are backing a new bill that would make it easier for them to self-distribute their products. Under current law, breweries are required to sell their products to bars, restaurants, and liquor stores via a middleman called a distributor. Kentucky's Guild of Brewers Executive Director Derek Selznick tells Spectrum News most of the organization's 68 members produce less than 500 barrels per year, so they would be able to sell directly in their own backyard.
Say if you're in Lexington, you know, your beer has to go all the way up to Northern Kentucky and sit for 24 hours in a warehouse and come all the way back down to Lexington to go two doors down. When, you know, there's no reason for it.
Advocates say the proposed legislation would also make contracts between distributors and microbreweries more equitable. Senate Bill 15 was introduced in the Kentucky State Senate on Wednesday.
Motions have been denied in a petition to impeach Kentucky's Attorney General. WMKY's Carla Haight has the story.
The House Impeachment Committee denied motions in one case Wednesday. After more than 3 hours in a closed meeting, the group denied motions in the petition to impeach Attorney General Daniel Cameron. The petition alleged Cameron broke public trust and failed to obey his duties by misrepresenting the grand jury's findings in the Breonna Taylor case. The committee is also hearing arguments for petitions to impeach Governor Andy Beshear and State Representative Robert Goforth. Beshear is accused of violating the Constitution with his pandemic orders on travel and church services. The petition to remove Goforth alleges he should be removed from office for physically abusing his wife in an incident that led to his arrest and indictment, as well as for abusing his office for personal and financial gain and financial misconduct. No petition has been dismissed. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
There are no national recommendations regarding double masking, but Kentucky's top health official weighed in on the practice Wednesday. Talk of doubling up on masks to increase protection against both spreading or contracting COVID-19 has led to some confusion, with the president's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, saying it may be a common sense approach, though no official recommendation has been issued. Kentucky's leading health official, Dr. Stephen Stack, says the key variable is multiple layers, either within a single cloth mask or two masks, and sticking to tried and true social distancing guidelines.
The biggest, most important thing you can do is stay 6 or 8 feet away from everybody. And that plus a single cloth mask with multiple layers, you're probably pretty good.
For now, researchers are still looking into the effectiveness of double masking, and Dr. Fauci says there could be a formal CDC endorsement once the science is in.
A measure to discourage tenants from damaging rental properties during an eviction passed the Kentucky Senate yesterday by a 28-8 vote. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
The measure, known as Senate Bill 11, would clarify current criminal mischief statutes by creating a category in Kentucky's criminal code exclusively for damaging rental properties. Senate Minority Caucus Chair Reginald Thomas opposes the measure, saying tenants today could be held criminally liable under the state's current criminal mischief statute. Senator Will Schroeder says the measure would help property managers more easily identify people with a history of trashing rentals when vetting prospective tenants through criminal background checks. The bill now moves to the House for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
UK Healthcare's COVID-19 vaccine clinic will extend operation hours to Saturdays. Opportunities for student volunteers for the Kroger Field Clinic were opened in order to accommodate the demand for the vaccine. Elizabeth Hansen is a master's student in UK's College of Medicine. She tells LEX18 her father's vaccination pushed her to help further.
He's only gotten his first shot, and it was very recently, but it just was like a huge weight off of my shoulders. And that's really when it really was driven home.
Requests for an appointment can be made on UK Healthcare's website.
The Office of Military Initiatives at Morehead State University is holding a letter-writing campaign for the Kentucky Army National Guard. Letters of encouragement and donations of small gifts and snacks are to be accepted until Wednesday, February 24th. Dr. Silas Sessions is the Director of Military Initiatives and Visiting Assistant Professor. He says everyone outside of the military can be involved with the campaign.
And I'll tell you, last year, it was a very overwhelming support across campus. This is for everybody to participate, even folks in the community, different departments, students, faculty alike. I mean, this is for everybody to pitch in. It's from Morehead State University. I'm very pleased with the support last year, and I hope we can either meet or exceed that.
Letters and donations can be dropped off at the Lieutenant Colonel Alan R. Baldwin Veterans Center, located in 304 Breckenridge Hall.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 33. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 39. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 38. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 51.
Over the past several months, Louisville, Kentucky has emerged as what the Washington Post called the epicenter of the national movement for racial justice. The killing of Breonna Taylor by Louisville police set off months of nightly protests that put the city and the state of Kentucky into the spotlight worldwide. On today's feature segment, The Reckoning's Dan Gedeman explores the history of slavery in the Commonwealth.
For months now, there have been nightly protests on the streets of Louisville. For some protesters, there is a clear focus on getting the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor brought to justice, or at least fired from the police force. But for others, the issues driving them are much deeper and more systemic, and go back centuries to the 1600s, when the first enslaved Africans were brought to this country. Slavery shaped America, and most definitely the state of Kentucky. But until very recently, that history has been rarely explored or even acknowledged by most white Kentuckians. It turns out that ignorance is not by accident, but by design. And it starts with a myth.
White Kentuckians have always argued that they did slavery better, nicer, kinder, gentler.
Historian Patrick Lewis says if you read the history, you can almost see Kentucky patting itself on the back.
At least we're not Mississippi. No, we're not Alabama. And, you know, it is a way of minimizing white complicity in the violence of slavery and the exploitation of slavery in Kentucky by saying, well, at least we're not, you know, grinding people to death in Louisiana sugarcane fields.
This kind of mythology left a big hole in the collective memory of Kentucky, a hole where slavery used to be. The Deep South may have been slavery's heart, but Kentucky played a huge role in keeping that heart beating. University of Kentucky history professor Vanessa Holden.
Kentucky supplies the internal slave trade with hundreds and thousands of enslaved people. So all over the South, there were Kentuckians in those fields. There is a true Kentucky diaspora all over the Deep South as a result of this internal slave trade.
An internal slave trade is not the first thing most Americans associate with slavery. In school, we're often taught about the transatlantic slave trade, where Africans were crammed into the hulls of ships, dragged across the ocean, and sold at slave markets on the American coast. But after the Revolutionary War, the northern and southern states disagreed on the role of slavery in the new republic. And so as they were writing the Constitution, they compromised. The country's slave trade could continue, but only until 1808. Before that time came, however, something really big happened. Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin, a device that made processing cotton radically easier. Joshua Rothman of the University of Alabama says this coincided with an international mania for cotton clothing. So if you owned a cotton plantation, you now had a labor problem.
And the only place that you could get more people after 1808 was domestically. You had to have people who were already in the boundaries of the United States if you were going to do it legally.
This created a great opportunity for states like Kentucky that had more enslaved people than they needed to raise their crops. So they went into the big business of slave trading.
And so it doesn't take very long until places like Kentucky and Tennessee also become major export centers for the slave trade. As places like Lexington and Louisville come into their own as cities, they become centers of the slave trade. And so you get people who are moving enslaved people directly over to the Mississippi River, send them down the river to Natchez in New Orleans. And of course, that's famously where you get the expression sold down the river.
Between 1800 and 1860, the average price for an enslaved person more than tripled in value and made many white Kentuckians a lot of money. But as lucrative as this business was for slaveholders, by the 20th century, this history was largely erased from Kentucky's memory banks. I'm Dan Gettleman.
Dan Gettleman has been producing award-winning audio programming for over 35 years, including the NPR series This I Believe, the Audible documentary series The Homefront, Life in America During World War II, and 50 Years After 14 August, which won the DuPont Columbia Award. WMKY is airing the program Fridays at 10 a.m. during Black History Month.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Moorhead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 44 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hupp has a look at sports, but first I want to say that we're glad that you're spending time with us on this gloomy Thursday evening.
Area teams are hitting the hardwood tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lake and Hupp. The Moorhead State women are hosting Murray State this afternoon. The Eagles are 5-10 so far this season, coming off a loss to Tennessee Tech on Saturday. Head coach Greg Todd says his team will have a good opportunity to get a win today.
Their team that shoots the ball well. They've got a freshman post who's playing extremely well, and they've got point guard that may be, you know, one of the top point guards in the league, and Macy Turley, I think she scored her 1,000th point a few nights ago, so they're a very competitive team.
Tip-off was at 4 p.m. You can listen to the game live on MSUEagles.com. The MSU men also welcome Murray State to Johnson Arena this evening. The Eagles stand 13-6 on the season, coming off two wins last weekend in Tennessee. Head coach Preston Spralding says he hopes to see a repeat of the first game with Murray State this season.
They're playing really well. They're coming off a tough loss at home against Belmont, who we're fighting with right now for that top spot in the league. And, we opened up league play after Christmas at Murray, broke a 18-year drought of winning in their building, a 25-game winning streak at home for them. We were able to snap.
Tip-off tonight is set for 7 p.m. The men's and women's cross-country teams are preparing for tomorrow's meet at Murray State. This will be the Eagles' second meet of the season after taking second place in last week's match against Eastern Kentucky. Head coach Clay Dixon says the teams are where he thought they would be while competing.
The women were a solid surprise there. It was nice to see we were on the tails of EKU, and it was really close, just 2 points away. Guys, I think we're in a really solid spot. Like I said, in our meetings the other day, we're exactly where I expect us to be.
The meet at Murray State tomorrow begins at 2 p.m. with the women's meet. The men's team will follow at 2:45 p.m. It's game day for the Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team. The Vikings are looking to get their first win of the season. Games have been in short supply for the team this season, with the majority of them being canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Coach Matt Stokes says the circumstances have made it hard for his team to find stability. Stokes adds that his team is a young one as well, being led by junior Haley Rose and sophomore Haven Ford.
Haven and Haley both have started for the last 2 or 3 years, so they've got a lot of experience, and we're really relying on them this year. Right now, Haven's leading the state in scoring. She's scoring 31 points a game or something. So, we're really going to look to those two quite a bit this season.
The Morgan County girls currently sit at 6-4 on the season. Tip-off tonight in Morgan County is set for 7:30. The Rowan County boys basketball game for tonight against East Carter has been canceled. It's the team's fifth COVID-related cancellation this season. Head coach Sean Thacker says the team was also supposed to play Saturday, but has been canceled by the Morgan County coach.
Monday night against Elliott County at home. Haven't had a chance to really look at them much on tape. We'll start doing that here shortly. You know, we get back in the gym. We're on COVID protocol right now ourselves. We come out of it on Saturday, and we'll get started with practice on Saturday and get ready to play on Monday.
Tip-off with Elliott Monday has been scheduled for 7:30. The Vikings stand at 5-1 record for this season. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials, S&P 500, and NASDAQ all registered solid gains today on the back of good earnings news as well as good economic news, with the Dow Industrials finishing up 332.26 at 31,055.86. The S&P 500 closed at an all-time record as it was up 41.57 at 3871.74, and likewise the NASDAQ closed at an all-time record high, finishing up 167.2 at 13,777.74. Jobless claims came in at 779,000 for the latest week, and this was much better than the expected reading of 830,000. And in earnings news, many companies coming out with very good quarterly earnings today. eBay was up 5% on better than expected quarterly earnings after yesterday's close. PayPal was up 7% after strong quarterly earnings that were reported after the close yesterday. Apple was up today over $2 a share on word that they were close to coming to an agreement with Hyundai as far as the manufacturing of driverless cars. Qualcomm was one of your few losers off of earnings news today, as it was down 8% after reporting lower than expected quarterly revenues. In the commodities markets today, a mixed bag. Gold backing off very solidly today, down $41.80 at $1,793.30. On the other hand, oil continued its climb, finishing up 66 cents at $56.35 a barrel. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 90 cents at 88.42, PPL up 11 cents at 27.90, Marathon Petroleum up 3 cents at 47.33, Community Trust Bank up $1.42 at $39.08, and Walmart was up $1.31 to finish at $142.51. Reporting from the national offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Shawmarie Mosley, Carla Haight, Jonathan Burton, Lakin Hupp, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from Dan Gedeman. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.